Yet, Steve, when it comes to the thought of the reward, in the scripture, as we have heard from Hebrews chapter 11, even the men of Moses that have refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son because he has made an assessment that the reproach of Christ is greater riches than all the treasures of... And then he says, for he has also respect for the recompense. But the scripture says here, behold, I. And I would trust to that all the saints take hold of the I first before the reward. See, because he says, and my reward is with me. It's not that I'm going to give you the reward or somebody's going to give it to you, but my reward is with me. I think it's a challenging thing that what is the desire of the saint, the reward or the giver of the reward? He is no man's debtor, brethren. We all know that. Paul spoke about a crown of righteousness that I would receive from a righteous judge. But I'm always touched with that verse from Genesis chapter 15. When the Lord was talking to Abraham, he says, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And brethren, would each and every one of us will be satisfied just with Christ himself. That's the challenge when it comes to the reward, because he will give it and he will give it in abundance. But as far as us are concerned, is Christ greater than any reward? Because the desire is whatever rewards are given is somehow to cast them back at his feet. I like a character just to make it practical. 2 Samuel chapter 9, Mephibosheth. David restored and giving him back all things with the servant as well. But you know what? The last words of Mephibosheth are so touching. He said, listen, he can have it all. Not some of it. He can have it all as long as the king has come back to his own house in peace. And brethren, I wonder if we will all have the desire that as long as I have Christ, and that's the most important thing.
This is absolutely true, and it's very obvious here. I am going to be running ahead, so forgive me, but I didn't want us to lose that point that he just made. He said in verse 12, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. He said, blessed are those who are keeping his commandment. There is no respond. There is no respond that even so, come Lord Jesus. They didn't respond. He said, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. So if the idea is that what will entice my heart and make it long for his coming is the reward, it's not there. But it's fascinating that in verse 16, he said, I, Jesus. Just the very mention of his name and in what that name entails. Then you come right away in verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride shall come. It is really, that's the main focus ought to be. It is the person himself that we anticipate. The reward comes. They come with him because he's coming with his reward with him. But our affection should be stirred toward that very simple name, I, Jesus. The name that is despised in the world today, that is used in vain right and left all the way around. That is really the name that should have any impact in our heart. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call him Jesus. He shall be great. And God has highly exalted him and giving him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, it is that name that is the world have no use for at all. That is the name that should stir up our affection. When he say, I, Jesus, my response was, what do you have with you? Not at all. When he say, I, Jesus, the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Just want to turn to Matthew 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And the Lord left us a parable about the wise virgins and the foolish. And the five wise had oil in their lamps, and the five foolish didn't. But notice in verse 6, at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold the bridegroom." And if you happen to have Mr. Darby's translation, you'll notice it's simply, "Behold the bridegroom." Just that. It's not even, "Behold the bridegroom cometh." It's, "Behold the bridegroom." And that was the test of their state of soul. It wasn't that they may have knowledge about future events or whatever that may have been so, may not have been so. But their heart was either in connection with the Lord, communion with the Lord. They had oil in the lamps. And we're speaking in Revelation 22 of the Spirit. It's the presence of the Spirit in the bride. See, these things are all connected together. And the wise had oil in their lamps. They were waiting for the bridegroom. The foolish were not waiting for the bridegroom. They had not oil in their lamps. And that's really the test of our state. If we're occupied with him, if he's the object of our hope, that we're looking for him. And the Lord gave us this parable. It's fairly long. He must have gave it to us for a reason. And so when we come back to our chapter, Revelation 22, we get the Lord saying himself three times, "Behold, I come quickly." And then we also get in verse 14, "Blessed." I think there's seven times in Revelation where we get the word "blessed," the seven beatitudes of Revelation. There's a blessedness of being connected with Christ. I just hope everyone here today and young people, there's so many things that can draw us away and draw our hearts away. So it's just not information. It's not knowledge. It's a person. And it's the Spirit dwelling within. Do you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? Do you have a link with Christ? Are you watching and waiting for him? This is the test of our soul.
Whether or not do we just limit the expression "come here" to the rapture, or is there a complete process here? Both the rapture that is involved and the idea of his taking his absolute rights and ruling supreme. Just by way of question.
I think one of the beauties of Scripture is when we see this in its context, we recognize that there is going to be a future remnant reading the same prophecy. And we'll have departed. So for us, it is the rapture in verse 12. But for that future remnant, it's the appearing. It's when he comes and he appears. That he's coming with reward for them too.